It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's statement last week raised questions about future charges against President Trump. We'll find out what the legal system says about prosecutions of ex-presidents. First, how productive have you been today? Did you accomplish a lot and make the most optimal use of your time? What if you completely rethought your idea of what it means to be productive? And instead of dividing your attention among hundreds of different tasks, how about trying actively to do nothing, or at least nothing you think of as productive? Our next guest says we need to take a closer look at the way we use our time and think about our time and push back against the constant pressure to do something. Jenny Odell is an artist and writer who teaches art and digital physical design at Stanford University. She's the author of How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. Jenny, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, when I picture doing nothing, I picture, you know, sitting and staring off. That's not exactly what you're looking for. There's a lot of something to your nothing, it seems like. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So I think, you know, the sort of figure of doing nothing can encompass a lot of things, as long as it's something that's, you know, more on the observational or kind of receptive side of things, as opposed to needing to have a knee-jerk reaction or, you know, a supposed grasp of everything that you're seeing in front of you. Even the kind of most stereotypical form of doing nothing that I personally do, which is sitting at a bench at a rose garden staring into space. If you're in a place like that, I mean, staring into space is actually quite a full experience. I mean, there are all kinds of things there. There's, you know, plants and animals and people doing all different kinds of things. I mean, it literally changes minute to minute. So, you know, doing nothing doesn't necessarily mean like seeing nothing or thinking nothing or not being surprised by anything. It's just a kind of stillness and openness as opposed to this kind of traditional understanding of productivity.
And you're worried about this idea of a constant pressure to be productive, the attention economy that wants us to be doing something all the time. Talk a little more about what you're trying to get away from, at least a little bit.
I think maybe the best way to describe it is I'm kind of pushing against this idea of optimization, this idea that everything is a product and everything can be optimized. So I think a lot of the times we're sold the idea of ourselves or our lives as products that can be, you know, optimized, that can perform better, that can be constantly improved. And I don't have a problem with the idea of self-improvement, but I think there are forms of it where, you know, you're imagining that there's kind of like a point in space type of goal that you should orient everything in your life toward. And anything that doesn't kind of fall into that category is not worth your time. It becomes expensive if time is money. And I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons that's problematic. I think it kind of corrals your attention unnaturally. It means that you are not open to surprise. And if you think about a lot of the most meaningful moments in your life are often ones in which you are surprised or you're kind of straying from that really narrow path. So I think I'm trying to kind of widen what we think of as being, you know, meaningful or productive or worthwhile by questioning how we're measuring that worth.
You have a few themes that you keep coming back to in the book that will enable us to do nothing and do it well, I guess, if that's possible. And one of those seems to be a space to do nothing in, and that takes us back to your rose garden. How can we make sure we have spaces in our world where we can do nothing and really get something out of it?
It's pretty hard. I think that space and the use of space suffers from, you know, the same things that define how we think about our time. So, you know, park is something that is similarly not really productive, right? In an obvious way, it's not making money. There's not really any obvious way to quote unquote use a park. And the things that happen in a park are similarly not so easily defined. And so I think there's this kind of constant pressure from the outside of these kinds of spaces to appropriate them to something a little bit more supposedly productive. So parks and libraries and these kind of non-commercial spaces become, you know, a really important place, you know, just sort of an image of a bubble of unproductivity, but also those are the spaces where you go to be able to do something like that.
Talking to Jenny Odell about her new book, How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. That space, time, is an obvious big part of your book. And it seems like in a lot of ways, our time keeps getting colonized by work. If you have some kinds of jobs, you can keep working, doing email, texting, whatever, anywhere in the world. If you're in a service job, you might be on call all the time. Have we lost the ability to just say, hey, this is not work time at all?
It seems that way increasingly. And I have to say that, you know, I acknowledge that there are a lot of folks for whom, like, this is just sort of a reality, right? Like, there are some people who don't have the choice of whether or not they're sort of on call all the time. For instance, someone who works in the gig economy or someone who works, you know, more than one job without benefits. So for me, it's very much tied to the decline of job security and benefits. But I think even for those of us who could potentially think of part of our days as not work, it becomes harder because even things like representing your leisure time on something like Instagram feels like a kind of work in a way. It's sort of like everything is potentially part of your personal brand. I think it just becomes harder and harder to imagine truly off time, like time that doesn't achieve anything, that you have nothing to show for. So I think it's definitely something that's gotten harder. And one of the things that I mentioned in the book is when I worked for a couple years at a corporate job, and they instituted this thing called the results-only work environment, which is supposed to be sort of a flexible work schedule. There's no 9-to-5 as long as you get your work done. Doesn't really matter when or where. And I didn't have a smartphone at the time, and I held off on getting one because I realized that the combination of that system with having a smartphone and email means that you're essentially on call all the time. So on the one hand, you have more freedom because you can structure your workday how you need to. On the other hand, you have less freedom because you're always potentially reachable.
Now, you're always looking for ways to do nothing and do it well. And one of your methods seems to involve birds a lot. Can you tell us about the birds in your life?
Sure. I actually just saw some about 20 minutes ago of my bird friends. There's a bunch of crows that live in my neighborhood. And a couple of years ago, I read a book about how crows are incredibly intelligent. They're some of the most, you know, intelligent by our standards of intelligence, of course. Some of the smartest animals, and they recognize human faces and can remember, you know, individual humans, for good or for bad, depending on how you interacted with them. So, I've sort of befriended a couple of crows that now come to my balcony every morning. And so that was kind of a really pivotal moment for me, just in terms of thinking about what it means to be recognized by essentially a wild animal and thinking about what they see when they look at me, this kind of human that emerges reliably from this small box every day. And that they don't see, you know, they don't see my career, they don't see progress, they don't, you know, see any of that stuff. They just see kind of a recurrence, and they see me as the animal that I am. So I enjoy, you know, and I look at other birds besides crows. Obviously, I'm really into bird watching, but in general, I think the reason I enjoy, you know, observing birds is because they're unpredictable. They kind of show up out of nowhere because I'm always learning new things about them. So I'm constantly being surprised. But I think it's also more fundamentally a reminder to me that I, you know, am an earthly being, and I inhabit this place with other beings that are sensing the same kind of world that I'm in.
Well, and it seems like the way you talk about birds, looking at the world through a bird's eye view, I guess, if you will, it's a way to shake up the way you perceive the world. You see art having a value in doing that, too. Finding ways to step outside our usual frame and just see the world from a different angle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my favorite art to, you know, spend time with, and also the art that I try to make, very much falls into this category of just, you know, even slightly shifting one's perspective. Ever since I was a kid, I always enjoyed the moment of taking off in a plane and looking down and seeing your familiar surroundings, you know, suddenly rendered alien. And you have this moment of realizing how specific and fragile the human environment is, which is not, I think, something that's easy to think about when you're just walking the same route every day, kind of on the ground. And I've also always been obsessed with microscope images for the same reason, where, you know, you might be looking at your own skin and it's this, again, alien landscape. So I think these kinds of like zooming in and zooming out or kind of changing perspective. Of course, thinking about what animals see is one way of doing that. I think that is really effective for me in kind of getting outside of this really kind of frozen, myopic, short attention span loop that I'm in a lot of the time, especially, you know, on something like social media, but really just in general.
We're talking to Jenny Odell. She's an artist and writer who teaches at Stanford University. She's the author of her new book, How to Do Nothing, Resisting the Attention Economy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this concept of doing nothing? Do you have something like that that you do that allows you to maybe disconnect from the things that distract you, that take your attention all the time, every day? Something that lets you restart, step away? Do you take time to disconnect from work, the news, all those other things that compete for our attention? Do you see some benefits from doing that? And do you have a place you go to do nothing, whatever your version of nothing is? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time.